The Bob Siegel Show, sponsored by Bob Siegel.
The Bob Siegel Show is brought to you in part by Primetime Media Group and the law offices of Matthew Simone.
Recurring themes on The Bob Siegel Show can also be found on his online column, Forbidden Table Talk.
It's time now for the Bob Siegel Show, a religious open forum where all questions are welcome. And now, here's your host, Christian apologist, Bob Siegel.
And this is Bob Siegel. So, you'd like to believe in God, but you wonder where God is when we have horrific shootings. Well, my friend, he's where he always is, sitting on his throne, acting with justice toward those who do evil, acting with mercy toward those who are willing to repent and ask forgiveness. That's where he is, but I'll tell you where he isn't. He isn't exploiting these situations for political opportunity. While the New Zealand shooter falsely referred to Trump as a white supremacist, yes, I said falsely, just ask Diamond, Silk, Candace Owens, or any of his many, many, many outspoken African-American supporters. This guy also expressed disapproval of Trump's politics, disdain for conservatives, solidarity with China, but try explaining this to the mainstream media and our Democratic politicians. They are trying to blame the mass killing, of course, on Trump. Well, now what else would they be doing? Just as they did back a while ago when a shooter went into a synagogue, making it clear, ironically, that he hated Trump's pro-Israel policies. They still accused Trump of being an anti-Semite and blamed him for that. And supposing some psychopath were to really claim that he does like Trump, the mainstream media may gripe about that. On the same day, they blame Bernie Sanders for the fact that one of his self-confessed, unashamed supporters shot Republican Congressman Steve Scalise. But don't hold your breath. It will never happen. By the way, Trump isn't the only one being blamed. Catch this. Some NYU students tried to pin the same incident on Chelsea Clinton, of all people. Chelsea Clinton never thought the day would come when I'd be defending her. Why did they blame her? Because she tweeted a condemnation of Congresswoman Omar's anti-Semitic remarks. Oh, I see. So now every time some monster without a conscience murders Muslims, it's the fault of people who rebuke anti-Semites. See how it works, ladies and gentlemen? Oh, well, not all of the news was bad last week. There's much to be grateful for. Time to celebrate the brilliant GOP rhino's position on blocking the president's declaration of national emergency. Personally, I agree that we have a crisis at the border, but funding a wall is Congress's job. Oh, all right. So when the GOP-held Senate had a chance to grant such funding before that government shutdown, did they do so? No. Yes, indeed, there is something worse than a Democrat. It's called a Republicrat. Unfortunately, they aren't too hard to find. 12 of them just came out of hiding in the Senate. One of them was Senator Mike Lee from Utah. He sided with the Democrats to pass this insane resolution, but prior to this vote, Lee tried to introduce a different bill that would have limited a president's authority in general, authority that had been granted by Congress in the National Emergencies Act of 1976. Said Lee, if Congress is troubled by recent emergency declarations made pursuant to the National Emergencies Act, they only have themselves to blame. If we don't want our president acting like a king, we need to start taking back the legislative powers that allow him to do so. Now, I hope you're following this, folks. The senator is admitting that the president does have this power because Congress once gave it to him. Why then, when his own idea about changing the law got rejected, do he go along with that other bill and try to deny President Trump, which the law clearly gives him? love or hate the law, it does exist, Senator Lee. You, of all people, went out of your way to spotlight this. So much for all that drivel about being for border security, but voting against it only out of concern for the Constitution. Of course, no one has more love for the law than Senator Elizabeth Warren. 2020 Democratic candidate Liz Warren commenting on the elitist college entry scandal where parents, including Hollywood celebrities, paid bribes to get their children into prestigious schools. She says, this is just stunning. I mean, the notion that people thought they could keep cheating like this and build this huge cheating network in order for the children of the rich and the powerful to make it into fancy schools. To me, it's just one more example of how the rich and powerful know how to take care of their own and everybody else just gets left behind. I think that's wrong. Yeah, you tell them, Senator. Just one observation, if I may. Well, she did use the word cheating early on. Notice how by the end of her tirade, she's talking about the rich and the powerful. Now, it doesn't take an Albert Einstein to see why she wouldn't want to stay on the subject of cheating for very long. But the transformed topic comes with a double benefit, namely an apparent attempt to change the narrative and fit our present political climate where those mean and nasty rich need to be pushed back in favor of the Democratic Party's fashionable wealth redistribution policies. If only Elizabeth had been around to advise these foolish parents ahead of time, perhaps they would have just mentioned Native American heritage on their applications so as to be viewed as a minority. Then those lucky kids would not only have qualified for college, but President of the United States as well. And now let me introduce a man who did very well in college himself, very well, without forging the application process to get there. Say hello to National Review contributor Mike Friedenberg.
Well, Bob, thanks for having me on once again.
It's always good to have you, Mike.
It's an honor to be here. So, yeah, there is no slow weeks in the news since Donald Trump started running. I mean, it's just been hectic, nonstop.
I know. I have to keep updating being on just once a week, I have to keep updating my radio show as I go because by Sunday morning, it could all change.
You know, you were talking about the scandal with the admissions, and I have to say, I'm kind of disappointed. One of the stars is the star of a show I watch, Wind Calls the Heart.
Yeah, from the Hallmark Channel. Yeah, my wife watches that all the time,
It's a great show, very family-friendly, and I will recommend it right now, by the way. If you're looking for something where you have a positive portrayal of faith, that is a very, very good
show.
And the
same lady's been in so many of their Christmas movies.
Yes. So that's just disappointing. I have to say that on the scale of all the problems facing our country right now, it's not the biggest one, but I understand that it's a sexy scandal. It's got movie stars and actresses.
And it's the hypocrisy because some of these same movie stars are always talking about the Democratic Party and the rich versus poor and the poor people without opportunity. And then they're doing that.
I think that to some degree that as conservatives, we're sort of reaching for that narrative. This is what it is. It's rich people who have so much money that have been trying to do so much for the kids, trying to figure their way to use their money to do more for their kids.
And I can't fault a parent that wants to do something for their kids, but good grief, what are they teaching their kids?
No justification for it. But if you think about it right now, for example, the plight of Asian American kids not getting into universities because there's a quota against them. I mean, that affects thousands.
Which is a very racist decision in the name of stopping racism.
I mean, obviously you look at these schools, Stanford, Yale, I guess USC, though I wouldn't put it in the same category as Yale and Stanford and UCLA. And that collectively, it's a few hundred over a number of years. It's not a huge mega impact, but it is, it is the principle of the thing. And obviously, it needs to be pursued. And the level of the lengths they went to is pretty incredible.
Well, and boy, I got to tell you, I'm just not sure how some of this works. They go and they Photoshop. I've heard of one case where they Photoshopped somebody to make them look like a pole vaulter. Now, how do you get into college as a pole vaulter if you've never pole vaulted before? What do you do? I mean, Doesn't this come out like on their first day? I don't get it.
Well, I guess they get in and then they decide, oh, I'm not going to go off the pole vaulting.
I've decided to exercise my options to not do this.
Right. Yeah. Well, they had the crew or rowing.
Yeah, that was this Lori, whatever her name is, from the Hallmark Channel. Yeah, the crew team. She'd never been on the crew team, apparently.
So it's not insignificant, but relative to all the other things happening in our country today, of course, this is going to be covered. And as you were saying, I saw people trying to sort of do a bait and switch on it and now talking about, you know, rich people being able to, for example, a rich guy, you know, gives $20 million to the university to build a building. And then the person on the show was upset because that means the guy's kids had a better chance of getting in. You know, I have to be honest, I don't give a hoot about that.
Well, I don't like that, and I don't think that's fair. That was not illegal. I do want to say for the record, though, that when I graduated the prestigious Ivy League college called San Jose State University, I did it all on my own and paid my own way.
Well, that's Bob. You wouldn't expect anything else from you in that area there. So, as I said, it's one of, we've actually now spent a lot of time talking about it. And another issue that there's no way to avoid it, but it is frustrating because, you know, the creation, and I have to even use her name because you can't talk about her without using her name, you know, Ocasio-Cortez.
Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez.
AOC, right?
Yeah. You cannot. I said last week she keeps popping up like a jack-in-the-box.
Well, no, but she's now being asked by the media as the official spokesperson for it. And then.
And she now has a male version, Beto O'Dork. He's saying all the same stupid things she is.
Well, yes. So understandably, I can understand the media and the left doing it. But we have also, people conservative, more conservative persuasion, people on the right, have also played maybe an equal role in building her up into this monstrous celebrity. I mean, if you go on Facebook, you know, one out of every seven posts on there is blasting her, you know, dumb jokes, all this. And I mean, even though it's, you know, it's all derogatory stuff, and I actually have to say, I don't think it's always that good to do, but regardless, we also have played our role in building her up into the monster that she has become. And there's really no way to really avoid that, but it's just an observation.
Well, on talk radio, if a politician says something stupid, you got to talk about it.
No, right, and she has said some stupid things.
But you know, she's got quite a following. By the way, for any of you out there that were offended that I made fun of Beto O'Rourke's name, okay, Fair enough. I just hope you're equally as offended that the man stands for infanticide, this rock star. So think about that a little bit, just to put things in perspective.
Right. There is bigger issues than some rich people flailing around. They've got tons of money, and they're trying to figure out how they can benefit their kids, and they come up with this elaborate expense. $500,000 up to, I think I heard that one was up to $6 million. That'd make it happen.
All right. Well, we'll talk about some of the issues a little more important than all that when we return to the Bob Siegel Show.
As if you haven't figured it out by now, Bob is mildly opinionated about the ultimate issues of life. But Bob also respects the opinions of others. To offer your own viewpoint or to challenge Bob with a thought-provoking question, give us a call at 1-888-344-1170. 1-888-344-1170. You can also reach Bob through Facebook, Twitter, or questions@bobsiegel.net. When you trust the care of your children to others, it's comforting to know they share the same Christian values, that what you teach your children at home is also taught in their preschool environment. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is an all-inclusive preschool where the staff ministers to all children of all abilities, including children with special needs, through a curriculum developed by the owners and designed for the preschool-aged child 3 to 5. During these preschool years, your children will make important developmental gains, as well as social and emotional development, that'll be the foundation for their overall success in life. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is a state-licensed, Bible-believing, Bible-teaching preschool and a nonprofit 501c3 organization.
Contact us now at WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com and secure a space for your preschooler. WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com or call 619-440-1044. 619-440-1044. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool.
Back to 96.1 FM, 1170 AM, The Answer. This is Bob Siegel, your host. Say hello again to Mike Friedenberg.
Well, thanks, Bob. So we've had a lot of news this week, and one of the big pieces of news, which is, it's not unexpected, but still it's kind of depressing, is that we had 12 senators vote to terminate Trump's emergency declaration to declare that there's no emergency. I mean, that's what they said. We have 12 Republicans say there's not an emergency on the border, and therefore joining the Democrats to, you know, get, I think it was 57 votes to terminate the
Even though Trump vetoed it, and they probably won't be able to go back and override it, it's pretty appalling that they did.
No, it is appalling, and I'm not going to lump every one of them together, even though they all voted the same. I will, for example, pull out
Rand Paul
a little bit.
He's more of a libertarian. He has a pretty consistent libertarian agenda.
He probably thinks he has a principal reason for doing it, but he's just not in reality.
But so many of these people, they'll always throw in the border and border security while they're campaigning, but most of them are not up for re-election for 2020. And most of the ones that are... did not vote
actually,
for this.
Actually, of all the senators that voted against Trump on this, only one is up for re-election in 2020. That's
Susan Collins.
Collins,
and she comes
from
a fairly liberal area anyway. Well, she's always been more of a moderate.
Let's discuss that.
She'll be able to survive that, I think.
I'm actually going to say that she probably won't.
Well, do you think they can primary her out of there without the Democratic candidate coming in?
Let's take a look at what happened in 2016 in the election cycle. You had Heck out of Nevada, a senator who was, you know, right on the border of being a never Trumper. And then you had Sally McSally, I mean Barbara McSally, I guess, out of Arizona.
Yes,
that basically also was very marginal and very negative about Trump.
Right. Now, she lost, but then when McCain died, she ended up taking
his
place.
Anyway. She lost a Republican seat, and Heck lost another Republican seat. And if you look, it's not universal, but
there is a pattern that when they're against Trump,
and
they're
it
not
also
winning.
Happened at congressional level. The what happens is you know Trump went out and campaigned for Heck, Nevada, and campaigned for McSally, but you lose your conservative base, the enthusiasm. It's not like the base was working against these two people, but they're not You lose your enthusiasm. So here we've got Susan Collins in Maine. And that's a rougher area for a Republican than Nevada or Arizona. So she's going to be in a primary getting beat up by a Republican challenger who's upset with her right there.
Well, and deserves it. And I do commend her for finally coming around and voting for Kavanaugh, but she would deserve this.
She voted for Kavanaugh.
And I'm
very glad she did because it should have been a slam dunk, but I was pleased she did. But here she is. She's going to be in a Republican primary. She'll probably still win the Republican primary, but she's not going to have – listen, even in Maine, the Republicans overwhelmingly are supporting Donald Trump. So what does she really gain from this? And here's we have to go back and see. This is where some of the people in the Beltway in D.C. lose their perspective. They look at a poll and they say, oh, look, it looks like 7 or 8% of Americans more – are against the border wall. What they don't understand is just like with the gun issue, over the years we've seen people on the gun issue or the life issue as well, where you see, you know, the polls can show that it's a losing proposition for the conservative, yet in district after district, congressional district after district, race after race, it's being pro-Second Amendment and pro-life has been usually a very large positive.
And those are the only polls that count.
It's because of the level of enthusiasm. There's a lot of people in this country to say, well, what do you think? Do you think it should be a while? Yeah, probably not. And that goes on the poll. The same thing as me. That person is now counted the same person as me who vehemently supports the wall. So I'm just going to tell you that these people, they lose track of reality there, and she may have just signed her death warrant in terms of being reelected by doing the voting that she
you,
did.
I thought I heard you say at first that she might get primaried out, but then I thought I also heard you say that you think she could still win the primary.
No, I don't think she will get primaried out.
Oh, okay.
I'm saying she'll have a primary challenge.
She'll have a challenge and maybe regret right. the decision, but you're... And of course, she would deserve to lose to the Democrat, but I just don't want to see that happen because I don't want to see us lose the Senate. And that's the problem. We're kind of forced to hope these moderates win when they don't deserve to
well,
win.
Well, here's, for example, Martha McSally had a very tough primary with Barbara Ward and Joe Arpaio. And Arpaio was a minor third candidate, but he still pulled quite a bit of votes.
And he was very unfairly demonized.
He wasn't fairly demonized, but I actually think he should not have run. I think that that was a mistake for him to run. But regardless, so she had a tough primary. And one of the reasons this was so tough is that the conservatives in Arizona, the Republican base, was not real happy with her lukewarm support when she was a congresswoman there for Donald Trump. So it was a nasty drag-out primary. And when she won pretty handily. She never was able to get the party behind her solidly. And I think that it's very possible that Collins could face the same thing, where she's just not going to have people will say, yeah, I'm not going to vote for the Democrat. They're not going to be getting out and working their butts off to get her reelected. So I just think that these people make these mistakes. They don't know how to read polls, or they listen. They're in the Beltway bubble and they listen to the Beltway rhetoric and they believe it.
Yeah. Now, if I believe that some of these people were really acting on their conscience, which I'm close to believing that with Rand Paul, but I do think it's political for most of them.
And let's think about it. Is I'm a big supporter of the wall, so is you. The idea of getting a physical barrier up there that's significant.
Yeah, I'd be just as happy if we at least did e-verify, but I mean, we've got to secure the border
we
one
do.
Way or the other.
And given the way...
I have no problem with a wall. To say we don't want a wall and that we don't need it, that's insane. It's not the only thing we need.
No, we need a lot of other things.
It's a holistic approach.
But the wall will help slow things down a bit but frankly, yes, it's not... In the long run, it's not going to be nearly enough because we have such bad laws that... Even if we do slow the rate of people coming here, once they get over here, we are stuck with them because we don't have the facilities to hold them. They're still going to be catch and release. And Donald Trump, President Trump, has done everything he had to do it. But the courts have said he has to allow them to be released.
Yeah.
And so there's
and they say, well, people can climb the wall. Well, you know, Mike, those guys that say they're going to pole vault the wall, maybe they're not really pole vaulters. Maybe their parents just fixed it for them and
Bob,
Photoshopped
that always makes me laugh because here's the thing is one of our biggest problems has been, and it's a public relations problem and it's a real problem, is that we have an increase in families. And the walls they put up there, the design they put up there, they had Navy SEALs trying to get over them. And they were a significant barrier to Navy SEALs coming over. So no women are climbing over the wall.
Undeniably, it slows them down.
No kids are climbing over the wall. And it can be done, but I'm just saying it's, you know, when you see the current walls and you see young, healthy guys climb over the wall, yeah, sure.
Okay, this is Bob Siegel and Mike Friedenberg. We'll be right back. Bob Siegel. They say a man's home is his castle. So when it comes to the wiring of your house, you don't want to mess around with some unknown electrician. Instead, do what I did. Call W&S Electric Incorporated. W&S specializes in both contracting and repair. From troubleshooting to remodeling to circuit breakers and fuses, W&S takes a skilled but personal interest in your home at affordable rates. I know the owner, Wayne Klingenhofer, personally, and I can testify firsthand to his integrity. Call 619-447-8785, that's 447-8785, for W&S Electric Incorporated, license number 480-539, W&S Electric.
Bob Siegel's novel, Push the Winds Around, is now available in both ebook and print copies. Check out this customer review from Amazon.com. Talk about a good read. Have you ever thought, if only God would allow me to go back in time to right my wrongs? What if I could change those decisions I made? What would be the outcome? Would the changes make a difference? If you have ever thought about that, then this book is your challenge. The story is so good you won't want it to end. You'll see why it deserves 5 stars. Bob Siegel, you've done it again. Can't wait for the sequel. Push the Winds Around, available on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com.
To invite all of you to a special event coming up next Sunday, March 24th at Skyline Church. I will be doing another of my one-man dramas, The Dust of Eden. In this simple story, the most popular of all my plays, Sean Knight is informed by an angel that he has only one day left to live. Through flashbacks, Sean recalls his high school and college days, tracing a romantic relationship with Gretchen, an unpopular Jewish girl in school, and her younger traumatized sister. It's a dramatic reading. I change my voice for each character. I have done these one-man shows for many years at churches and college campuses all over the country. Once again, that's The Dust of Eden, one-man drama presentation, March 24th, location Skyline Church, room 412. The time is 11 a.m. to 1:30. I know that sounds like a long time because it's a full-length two-act play, but there will be an intermission with free food in between. And for more information, go to my website, bobsiegel.net. Right there on the front page under Events with Bob, you can read all about this. But that's not the only exciting thing going on with our KCBQ family. Hannah, my board op, who's been here just a couple of months but doing a fantastic job, is a very talented individual on the other side of the stage as well. Hannah, tell them what you're going to be doing.
Hey, Bob. Yeah, well, it's not something you hear about every day. Our local San Diego church, C3 Church San Diego, is putting on a rock musical. It's called Hero, From Carpenter to King. We have actors, we have musicians, we have dancers performing songs by Guns N' Roses, Evanescence, and yes, Queen. I think it's going to be a great performance. The rehearsals have been going really well. If you plan on coming, which would be fantastic, it will be happening from April 10th to the 13th at C3 Church off Balboa. We have 6 p.m. and 8 p.m. shows all 3 of those days. You can go to c3sandiego.com, scroll over events, and find Hero, the Easter musical.
Great. Dana and I are both planning on coming. We're looking forward to it. And what I like when I was hearing you read off groups like Queen and Guns N' Roses, it kind of breaks the stereotype of what people would think they're going to find in a church, which I like. I want to see some of our religious stereotypes broken so that we can find the real Jesus underneath. So that sounds awesome, Hannah. But you know, if we come to your event, you have to come to ours too. That's only fair.
Oh yeah, it's going to be fantastic. Okay, right. I want to see your play.
All right. Meanwhile, we have another talented guy, writer for National Review, Mike Friedenberg.
Well, Bob, we've been talking about that. The 12 Republican senators that voted, and we had people in Congress voting as well. But I do want to mention that we don't hold the House anymore. So the Senate was the focus. And it would have been so nice to just have a solidarity in the Senate where we have 53 votes and to, have seen that support the president. But we didn't. So that was sad. I do want to point out one person in particular that I found particularly egregious.
I hope you're going to say Mitt Romney.
Well, Mitt Romney is, but he's just an ongoing problem.
We're used to him being egregious.
This I'm going to talk, I'm going to single out Pat Toomey out of Pennsylvania. He was running for re-election when Donald Trump was running for president the first time around in 2016.
Did Trump help carry him over the finish line?
Well, without Trump carrying Pennsylvania, there is no way. Toomey was going down. He was predicted to lose. He ran a very poor campaign. And part of it was that he undercut his Republican base by bad-mouthing Donald Trump when he was running in that area. So here's a guy that owes his U.S. Senate seat to President Trump, and he just stabbed him in the back.
And I know, I must say, in general, the gratitude from the Republicans of what he is doing for the Republican Party is somewhat underwhelming.
Well, it's completely underwhelming. Charlie Kirk did an article that came out yesterday, and the title was, "Why is the President Standing Alone?" And Bob, he is standing alone.
Yeah, and history will look back and view him as a hero, but history's always got that 2020 hindsight.
From the time when the Republican House under Paul Ryan, if they had been unified in supporting the president, they could have shut down the Mueller investigation.
Yeah, Ryan was a travesty, and I'm not that much happier with McConnell. McConnell has done a good job of putting through the judges, but that's about it.
I'm still going to put him into a different category than Paul Ryan. But yes, nothing to jump up and down.
Well, we've talked before on the show about him and that his love affair with that filibuster. We won't belabor that point,
right.
But it still drives me nuts.
And if they had been unified with the president, they could have shut down the Mueller investigation. There would have been a firestorm in the media for a few weeks, and it would have been done with. But instead, we had Republican after Republican after Republican going on and talking about how they support the Mueller investigation, how Bob Mueller is a straight shooter, how this just has to go run its course.
Straight shooter, he's a good guy, yeah.
And there was the basis of instantiating.
We heard all that about Comey, too.
Yeah, well, of course. The basis of instantiating the special counsel was that you have a clear and obvious crime that's been committed with some evidence already, and then you...
This is not in search of a criminal because we have a crime. This is in search of a crime because we don't like Trump.
Right, and that's what it was. So from the very beginning, he's had the Republicans stabbing him in the back. The immigration stuff. If you watched all the immigration reform and you watched Speaker Paul Ryan manipulate things so that there is no chance that any Republican groups could get together and actually put any legislation across the finish line that you could actually vote on en masse. He manipulated to make sure that did not happen.
You got to wonder how these guys sleep at night. You got to wonder what their motivation is, although I'm guessing they're indebted to a lot of big organizations and donors. That's Lou Dobbs' theory that he puts out there a lot.
I'm going to have to go with Lou Dobbs on this because
Koch brothers, people like that.
Well, the Koch brothers are definitely part of the issue. I believe that there is a group of Republicans that are tied to very large international, and it's international corporations that made hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of billions of dollars shipping tens of thousands of manufacturing businesses and millions of jobs over to China. And this was the status quo before Donald Trump started running for office. In fact, it was amazing. The first debate, when there were 17 Republicans, Donald Trump was the only one that brought up the trade issue, and not one other Republican even talked about it or rebutted him, because it was sort of like the elephant in the
Do you think that was their biggest problem with Trump, or do you think it's that with his crusty nature, he accomplishes more than they do with all their diplomatic politics?
I think it's a combination of factors.
A little bit of both.
But I'm going to tell you that a lot of people were invested in China being successful at the expense of U.S. manufacturing and U.S. workers, and Trump upset that apple cart. And we're talking collectively companies that do trillions of dollars of business.
Okay, we'll talk more about that when we return to the Bob Siegel Show. This is Bob Siegel. As a Christian apologist, I hear scorning and ridicule all the time from Bible skeptics and unbelievers. Some churches will still respond to such people with love and understanding. Others do not.
You Christians are such morons. There's no proof that God exists, and only a pea brain would believe in miracles. Wake up! Step into the 21st century. Besides, Christianity is responsible for most of the world's problems.
I find your lack of faith disturbing.
Relax, my friends. That's not the kind of response you'll get from Skyline Church. We welcome you just as you are, with all your doubts, all your questions, and all your concerns. Your problems with religion are understandable, and I promise at Skyline you'll experience the love of Jesus Christ, not the revenge of a Sith Lord.
Skyline Church, Sunday morning services, 9 a.m. and 11 a.m.
Siegel Show. One of our listeners, Tim, responds to my rebuke of Republicans who went along with the Democrats. And he asks, is it okay ever for people to break ranks with their own party? Do I think that's okay? Sure, it is, Tim, depending on the situation, depending on a genuine following of the conscience, as I said before. But what's not okay is Republicans making promises on the campaign trail and then breaking these promises when it comes time to take a vote. That is not okay. Say hello again to Mike Friedenberg.
Well, Bob, I concur with that. And it's worthwhile repeating that, yes, the 1976 Emergency Declarations Act did authorize President Trump to do this exactly this. And what is he doing? He's fulfilling his duties as the president of the United States to protect the country. President Obama used the Emergency Act multiple times. One time was to prevent unrest in Yemen. On each and every month, more American lives, property, and dollars are put at risk by what's happening at the border than all of the emergency declarations
President Obama did. Well, and you know what else Obama did, and this really boils my oil, DACA is not a law that was put into power by Congress. That was a signed executive order. And then when Trump tried to overturn it, some judge ruled that he didn't have the power to do that as president. And but he was trying to overturn some courts. Other president's executive order. It's insane.
It's going to be at the Supreme Court suit. But yes, that was ridiculous. So here's the thing is there was no principled objection. And by the way, the power of the purse string, what we're talking about here, even with the $8 billion, is 0.2% of the annual budget. So Trump has not taken away the power of the purse string from the Congress. Number one, they gave the president in 76 very minor authority to do some rearrangement of funds.
Well, yeah, funds that are already there, like funds for the military. And he's our commander in chief. I understand that only Congress can declare a war. But if our country is attacked or there's an emergency, the president has to be able to act without going to a committee. Then they figure out how to fund it right. Later.
So their point of principle is very thin.
Unfortunately, I'm not all that sure it's going to hold up in the courts. It should, but I'm kind of expecting it will,
but I wouldn't bet my life on it. Okay.
The courts are just, the Supreme Court, I mean, is just 50-50 these days.
So another very sad situation is with this Ilhan Omar.
Yes. We spent a lot of time talking about her last week.
And just a couple observations is just, when you see how the Democrats handled this and just how Nancy Pelosi completely folded under from the pressure from the far left, you know, a witch's brew, you know, of Islamists and Nazi and Farrakhan and all these people. I mean, it's just amazing. But what they effectively did is I don't believe that.
And Rashida Tlaib, one of the other ones, the Palestinian, she was at a Farrakhan rally.
Yes. No.
I'm not a Farrakhan rally. She wrote for Louis Farrakhan.
Right. She was there was a publication.
Yes, publication. That's what she did.
And so when you take a look at it, I believe that these were trial balloons that were put up by Omar to see what she could get away with. And what we've discovered is she can get away with an awful lot. And to the degree
almost as if they apologized to her instead of rebuking her.
Oh, yeah,
her.
No. And what they did is the condemnation of hate focused on Islamophobia. So let's talk about Islamophobia for a second. My understanding of Orthodox Islam, especially the Wahhabist brand of Orthodox Islam, is that it, unlike Christianity, it mandates a theocracy run under Sharia law. So it is a political system.
Which is what Judge Jeanine Pirro was trying to say when she questioned, are you loyal to our Constitution or Sharia law? Sharia law is not compatible with our Constitution.
So there is a very bright line of difference between that and Christianity. Christianity does not in any way advocate a theocracy. Well, except maybe when Jesus Christ was back.
And in Old Testament times they did. But the gospel of Jesus Christ does not tell us to go out and physically conquer the world for Christ. We share the gospel and people respond voluntarily.
So that, to me, as an American, and we used to have a test. We would not allow communists to come in because they did not believe in our constitutional form of government. So one of the things I would like to do, and this is probably a what you call a modest proposal, is that if you're going to be want to have the privilege and the great honor to come into our country to live here, is that you have to agree to understand you're going to use your words, that you have to agree to have your religion mocked, your prophets mocked, because we put up with it every day, Bob. As Christians, we have Jesus mocked, the Bible mocked. And if you can't agree to that, then you shouldn't be in this country.
And I know that in our Constitution, it says you can't give people a religious test, which is what people try to say to argue this point. But again, Islam is a believer in merging politics and religion, so it is not merely a religious test. If that's all it was, that would be different. It is a political test. I don't mind somebody coming into our country and saying, I'm a Muslim. I do think it's fair to say, are you a Muslim who believes in Sharia law? Because Sharia law, at its inception, is a belief in conquering in the name of Islam.
Well, and
I know some Muslims say, well, my Sharia law is private, personal. Fine. I'm talking about the kind of Sharia law Muhammad was talking about.
Do you see, the test I'm talking about would be a completely non-religious. Everybody would have to accept it.
Yeah.
It would be applied to everybody. When you come to the United States, we have something called the First Amendment.
Yeah.
The First Amendment allows somebody to take your holy book and immerse it in urine if necessary. Well, and you have to be able to tolerate that.
Which, by the way, they did with the crucifix of Christ. But it's more than that. It goes beyond religion. Our forefathers knew that some speech wouldn't be popular. If it was going to be benign speech and we were all going to like the speech we heard and it was going to be soothing, we wouldn't need a First Amendment. It's the worst kind of speech that gets protected.
Of course. And I don't advocate doing that, by the way, to anybody's religious
I think
stuff.
It's fair to ask a few questions. It was abominable when Fox pulled Jeanine Pirro off the air last night because she raised that question.
I want to ask some questions to see if this person is willing to live under our Constitution. And if they're not, I don't want them.
Well, Trump said that when he was campaigning. He said we should ask a few questions and find out what the what is going on. And boy, he was just excoriated for it. All right, we will be back with one more segment. You're listening to The Bob Siegel Show. Bob Siegel. Buying or selling a home? Feeling overwhelmed? Facing what seems like unlimited choices? Believe me, your first and most important step is to find the right person to represent you and look out for your interests. Somebody who will help you save money while buying or make money for you when you sell. So listen carefully as I offer the best housing advice you're ever going to hear. What you want to do is contact Realty Executives All Area. And you want to ask for my good friend, Fred Falduti. Fred has managed literally hundreds of real estate transactions in the San Diego area and has handled just about any scenario you can imagine. Believe me, folks, you don't want to navigate the landmines of this economy without a skilled and experienced guide. But Fred is so much more. He will look after your interests as if they were his own. Give him a call or contact him online. Fred Falduti with Realty Executives All Area, 619-719-7717. That's 619-719-7717 or fredfalduti.com.
Reader enthusiasm for the dangerous Christmas ornament doesn't end. Check out this customer review from Amazon.com. Anytime I read a book where I want to find out what happens in the next chapter all the way to the last page of the book is a great book. This is the experience you and your children will have reading The Dangerous Christmas Ornament. I read the whole thing in a short time despite a busy schedule. The interesting plot lines has the flavor of realism because the author is writing from his own childhood experiences and ours as well. You will relate to the authentic family dynamics and the playground trials and triumphs described in the book. The book will also make you laugh as some of the characters have a great sense of humor, delivering good-natured jokes mixed with a dose of sarcasm. Most importantly, the book throughout has a moral dimension to it that takes it to a deeper level, making it a preferred selection to read to your kids. Enjoy! The Dangerous Christmas Ornament, available in bookstores and libraries.
Welcome back to 96.1 FM, 1170 AM, The Answer. I'm your host, Bob Siegel. I will not be with you next week, at least not live in the studio. I'll be resting my voice after my one-man drama that I told you about earlier, although I do hope to see you at the drama. And of course, The Bob Siegel Show will still air. There will be a repeat broadcast from last year where I interviewed people who minister to Muslims, lovingly, tactfully, but challenging their unbiblical doctrines. 2 weeks from now, my wife, Dana, will be substitute hosting to share about her annual retreat from grief to gladness, where women who have had abortions receive healing and forgiveness. Dana will be joined by several women sharing their own personal stories. You don't want to miss this. Dana always does a wonderful show. And then 1 week after that, of course, I will be back with you myself. Meanwhile, I'm still here right now with Mike Friedenberg.
Well, Bob, we were talking about you know, this whole business with the rise of the anti-Semitism, really just the complete capitulation of the Democrat Party. I mean, think about what the Democrat Party is. It's the party of anti-Semitism now. It's the party of abortion through all 9 months and right up through birth.
Infanticide. It's the party of infanticide now.
It's the party of tearing. I mean, Beto O'Rourke on the border saying, if I had my way,
I would tear the walls down. Yeah. Something he probably said and then thought afterwards about what he meant. I bet he's going to rue the day he made that comment, I believe.
Of course, we all have a certain bias to how we see the world because of the people we hang out with. But I'm really, really hoping that what is coming out of the Democrats' mouth is not in any way, shape, or form anywhere near
the fact that
that
guy's from Texas is really scary.
It is, but I don't think I listen. Listen, I really like Senator Cruz in many respects. The guy is very brilliant.
I do, too. I think Senator Cruz gets a bad
rap.
He's a very consistent conservative.
Debater. He's one of the people that can really think on their feet. But for whatever reason, he is not
He's considered unlikable.
Yeah. Political force
yeah, and
there
it,
is.
And it's too bad.
And it's just, so yeah. Listen, he got reelected. That's fine. And
Mike,
I'm glad
we should send him a card. Tell him, hey, we like you, Ted.
No. Yes. I do like him. But the thing about it is there's stronger people out there in terms of being able to run in Texas that could better connect with people. But Senator Cruz, you know, he won. So, you know, when we look at this.
Beto's kind of the California embassy to Texas.
Yeah, they're hoping to do with Beto is he'll be sort of this empty person. And everybody that does it, that's uncomfortable with Donald Trump, will pour what they want to believe he's about into him. And they're going to try to do it. Sort of like what they did with Obama. I don't think it's going to work this time because we actually have a president that's going to run for election.
Who knows how to fight.
Who's not going to just roll over like McCain
and Romney.
Did.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, and I believe that's part of the key of why McCain and Romney despised Trump
right.
so much.
Yes.
He was able to accomplish what they couldn't with all their mealy-mouthed talk.
But one of the foundations for the rise of anti-Semitism and the anti-Israel narrative is this whole idea, the false narrative of an oppressed indigenous people called the Palestinians. And I know you talked about that last week, But it literally goes back to a collaboration between the KGB and the Egyptian president Nasser and Arafat to come
up
with the term.
Who's not even from that
right,
area called Palestine. He's
Egypt,
from Egypt. Yeah.
Egypt, right. To come up with the term and to say, we are going to take away the term Palestinian from the Jewish people. And here's an example. Prior to even to the establishment of Israel, you had the Palestinian Post, the Palestine Post, a Jewish paper. You had the Palestine Foundation Fund, a Jewish fund. You had Palestine Airways, the Palestine Symphony Orchestra. All were purely Jewish organizations.
When, even though the term Palestine was first coined by an ancient Roman emperor, it did become part of the vernacular. And it was the Jewish refugees who were being called Palestinians. It was the Arabs who lived there. They called themselves Arabs and didn't switch their name to Palestinians until the 1960s.
Well, in the 60s, and they first started using it, and then they really...
launched a PR campaign
upped the PR game in the 70s.
They couldn't beat Israel militarily, so they launched a PR campaign instead.
And it was brilliant. It was a brilliant piece of PR. And, you know, 2020 hindsight...
And it's working.
Monday morning quarterbacking, I think Israel really dropped the ball on this because they let the Palestinians... the Arabs steal the term Palestinian from them, and it created... So the narrative before that was, here you've got little teeny Israel, 6 or 7 million people, or less at the time, surrounded by a couple hundred million hostile Arabs. And then they switched the narrative to big militaristic...
They're aggressors, they're conquerors.
No, to this little
they're
tiny...
They're occupiers.
An even tinier group of people, the quote-unquote Palestinians,
yeah,
being oppressed by the militaristic, you know, state of Israel.
And we see it on science fiction shows. I'm a big lover of Star Trek Deep Space Nine, but the Bajorans were more or less the Palestinians. Now, if the Palestinians really behaved like the Bajorans, I wouldn't have a problem with that. But, of course, that was all cleaned up for the TV show.
So you get to this thing, and that has formed the moral underpinnings. That's why so many people are fooled, because a lot of people here are sort of thinking, this is kind of like the Native American Indians here in the United States, what happened to them. The same thing has happened to the Palestinian people, quote unquote, the Arabs. The fact that, you know, that in most cases, you're talking to maybe recent immigrants or just a couple generations back. We're not talking an unbroken line of immigrants back to, you know, 2,000 years ago. I mean, it's not. It's a relatively large influx of Arabs into the area. And a lot of that influx was prompted by successful Jewish settlements, making it more attractive.
Yeah, it was originally under Muhammad that they came into that land, but it did increase at the turn of the century when a lot of Jewish settlers created jobs and started making the area green and fertile.
And the Soviets were known for creating, they created liberation organizations all over the world.
Boy, those nasty Soviets are everywhere. Boris and Natasha.
Listen, they had a very sophisticated worldwide operation to create anti-American sentiment, and anybody that was an ally of the United States was this target. And Israel was a linchpin for U.S. policy in the Middle East, just as it is still now.
It is like a little United States in the Middle East.
It's the one country where you actually have, when I say the term liberal democracy, I'm using liberal in the most positive sense of the word.
And there's Arab Israeli citizens.
Correct.
They have more rights than any Arab in any Arab country.
So an interesting thing is that I sort of get a sense that people don't believe that they can be a Zionist unless they're Jewish. And I want to say that even though I have a name that's often thought to be Jewish, Friedenberg.
Yeah, I used to think you were Jewish when I first met you.
I'm actually German-Irish.
Well, of course, there are a lot of Jews from Germany, which is where the German-Jewish name comes from.
Yes, German. Well, and Ireland is actually one of the worst countries right now as far as anti-Semitism, by the way, unfortunately.
I did not know that. I know there's a lot of unrest in Ireland.
You were talking about the...
I know they hate the British.
The boycott, sanction, and divestment
movement. Well, Israel's hated
the BSD movement.
Yeah.
Well, I believe Ireland has signed on to the BSD movement.
To hear such news on... St. Paddy's Day. Tis a pity.
Tis a pity. Yes.
Okay.
Well, we'll go down our sorrows after this, Bob.
All right.
The pint of Guinness.
Always good to have you. We'll have you on again next month. Hope to see you at my play next week. Everybody, again, go to my website for more details. This is Bob Siegel, just making the obvious obvious.
The Bob Siegel Show, sponsored by Bob Siegel.